Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are now examining the last verse of 1 Peter chapter 3 that talks about the glorious exaltation of Jesus Christ. In terms of his ascension, session, and subjugation. His ascension, as he visibly, bodily, ascended back to heaven in view of his disciples who witnessed that event. His session, as he was seated at the right hand of God to return to that throne of the universe that he vacated in order to come to earth. No wonder we call it a condescension. No wonder we call it humiliation. He vacated the throne of the universe in order to come to earth and to be born of a virgin and to become a man. But now he is restored to that position of highest honor once again. And in connection with that, we read about his subjugation. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject unto him. They line up in rank under him because he's the highest ranking one of all. So this is what we read in 1 Peter 3:22 when it says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." We'll explore a little bit further on this Thursday, March 13. Thank you for supporting us with your gift so that we can continue to teach God's Word on this station. Well, he ascended back to heaven. Who has gone into heaven? He went back bodily, visibly, triumphantly, very different from his condescension to come down to earth, which was invisible and almost secret, not entirely so, but was not conducted with a great deal of fanfare. You say, well, the angel choir that appeared to the shepherds was quite a fanfare, and indeed it was, but it was pretty narrowly focused upon a band of shepherds, not upon the entire population of the city of Jerusalem, or not to the whole nation of Israel, but just narrowly targeted to a band of humble shepherds who were pretty well isolated from the rest of the community. That's not the way to announce something with great publicity, if that's what you're trying to accomplish. But evidently it was not. He came to earth very quietly, but he returned to heaven quite visibly, victoriously, triumphantly. And as we ended the broadcast yesterday talking about this, we said that this visible exaltation, this visible ascension witnessed by his disciples who looked with amazement as suddenly he started to rise, and his glorified body just began to ascend. His feet left the earth, and he just continued to rise, and they watched him with amazement. Remember, the angel said, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" They couldn't stop looking, even after he had ascended out of sight, had gone up and was no longer to be seen. They still couldn't stop peering. They couldn't stop looking. So astonished were they at this display of his deity and his glory, and they said, "Why stand you gazing into heaven?" The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to return the same way. But having ascended in such a great and glorious way, we have no difficulty believing that he is truly accomplishing the things that we are told he is doing during the interim until he comes back. He is serving as our high priest. Here's what Hebrews 8, 1 and following says. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty, the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. But now he, that is Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So, what is he doing in heaven? Well, he's serving as the high priest of his people. A better high priest than anyone upon the earth. He is qualified to do this. He is actively doing this. The high priest, of course, to the old covenant people of God, was their mediator. He was the one who went once a year behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat, thereby covering the sins, covering the sins of the nation for one more year, making atonement in this way by the sprinkling of the blood. And he represented the people before God in this way, and God overlooked their trespasses in this manner, recognizing, as God certainly did, and as many of the people who were paying attention did, that this really couldn't take away their sins. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross did, and now he is a high priest who has made the sacrifice that avails. He doesn't have to keep going back year after year. He did one time, made the sacrifice, and it was a perfect sacrifice that accomplished everything that it was intended to do. It does not need to be repeated, but he is in heaven even now as our high priest. And what else is he doing? Well, he is making intercession for us, according to Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is appearing for us. That is, he is making intercession for us. And as Peter told his listeners on the day of Pentecost, he has, from that position on the throne of heaven, dispensed his Holy Spirit to earth. Here's what we say: therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promises of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you now see and hear, the visible and audible manifestations of the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. Where did they come from? They came from the throne of God in heaven, occupied by the Son of God, who ascended back to heaven to take up his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where they came from. He poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So this is what he is doing. He is representing us as our heavenly high priest. He is interceding for us as our effective mediator. He is dispensing the Holy Spirit to us as the one who performs all that needs to be done for his children in order to bring them into the family of God, to bring them into union with Christ, and to apply the merits of his sacrifice to their soul. And he's doing that for us, and he's the one who opens heaven for us, according to Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So you'll see that reference again to the Old Testament high priest going behind the veil once a year. Well, that's what Christ is doing. That's what he has done. And which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, there's a lot that was accomplished by Christ when he ascended back to heaven. And Peter alludes to all of that when he says in 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven. But not only his ascension, but also his session. He is at the right hand of God. That's what the verse goes on to say. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. A phrase that is repeated quite frequently in the New Testament. This reminder, he is at the right hand of God. And of course that is metaphorical language. That is a phrase that indicates that he is at the place of highest power. The right hand was the place of greatest honor, greatest power, the left hand being the lesser one. That's just the way things were framed in Bible days. And so he is at the right hand of God, at the highest position of power. Perhaps on the broadcast tomorrow, we'll go through some of the statements in the Scripture that talk about this, that refer to the right hand, and that tell us that that's the position which Jesus Christ now occupies. But what this is telling us is that he is on the throne of heaven reigning. He is the regent of the king, the right hand of God. The right hand of God the king, he is the one who is reigning as the representative of the king. He has the full confidence of the king, the full approval and authority of the king. He is, for all practical purposes, the king, as indeed he is. And he is even now reigning. It's not that Jesus Christ will someday reign. He is even now reigning. He rules and controls and orders the universe now. Now, we will see more evidence of that later when he returns to earth in a glorious return that everyone will recognize him for who he is, whereas right now only his believing saints recognize this truth, and those who, of course, are in heaven, the holy angels, and those who are in heaven recognize this truth, but all the world will recognize it someday. We'll talk about it again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.